Welcome to Jaipur Bites, the JLF podcast. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This episode is a live session from day 3 of Jaipur Lit Fest 2023, and it's called Let Me Hijack Your Mind. Rael Padamsi and Vandana Saxena Poria in conversation with Asad Lalji.
Good evening, everyone. I could not be happier to discuss the story about a legend who I have grown up admiring, because it's doubly special today because I share the stage with his daughter, who's a dear friend. Alec Padamsi was a Renaissance man, uniquely multidimensional, from a creator of some of the most iconic ad campaigns, be it the Little Girl, MRF Muscle Man, to a theater actor, producer, author. Alec wore multiple hats. I think most of us have our own anecdotes of Alec and nuggets that we miss him and think of him with. But I'm just going to give my share a few personal anecdotes before we jump in. I actually did a workshop with Alec in the early 90s. It was held by the dynamic father-daughter duo. It was a creativity workshop. And at the end, Alec gave us all a handout, a postcard, which was his caricature, and it said, create an ad, ADD, and not an ad. And through my Madison Avenue career in New York and in Mumbai, I used to keep that on my desk. You know, I've grown up seeing theater in Bombay, like Evita, and all had such an impression on me. And then to have him be at the Royal Opera House at the opening, Rael didn't come, I invited her, but Kwasar was there, was really special. And he was truly an icon, and so it gives me great pride to do this. So, he would start. As Alec would say, don't sit back, relax, look sharp, keep your eyes peeled, and let's hit the ground running. So, over to you, Vandana.
Hello.
Hello there. All right, we're going to make a little fun, guys. I'm sure you are used to boring book launches. So congratulations on this unique book. Firstly, I thought they were going to read bios, but I was very intrigued. I mean, she's an OBE, so I tried to curtsy, but then it was too tight. And she's also known as the human alarm clock. I want to ask her about that a little later. But so this book is a project of love and devotion that took 5 years. Vandana worked with Alec for 3 years, and then she worked with Rael for 2 years. So tell us about the genesis of this book. What was your research process? Give us all the scoop also, huh? Not just the quiet stuff.
So it was really interesting. I met Alec, I can't remember, 2015 or 14. And he said to me in our second meeting, he invited me home and he said, Vandana, I have a book in me. And I said, okay. And he said, I have no clue what it's about, but I have a book in me. Will you write it with me? Now, when someone like Alec Padamsi says that to you, you don't say no. So I said yes, thinking, what am I letting myself in for? And he said, listen, it's definitely not a biography. I did that 20 years ago. So I said, okay, so how about I come and visit you and just record conversations, and then we'll kind of see what comes out of it. Over 50 conversations later and 180 hours worth of material, I put all the ideas, did the transcriptions, put all the ideas up, and what came out very clearly was everything Alec did was getting you to change your mindset about whatever it was. If you thought something was black, he would convince you it was white, and vice versa. And so there came, Let Me Hijack Your Mind, and that's really what the book is about.
So it's not a conventional biography. I mean, you know, I read the book because I was asked to do this panel, and I cannot tell you, I couldn't put it down. But, you know, it's like a manual for life, if you ask me, and creativity. I mean, how do you categorize this book? I mean, you know, when the trade has to sell a book to the bookshops, what do they put it under? It's not fiction.
It's not self-help. It's not fiction. I don't know what it is. I don't think they've figured out yet.
Okay, and you have to tell us about the title.
Oh,
why?
Why we came up with the title. Well, here's the thing, right? You think about it, from childhood, like, you know, as a kid, you grow up and your parents tell you what to do. Let's be honest, they do. Especially in India, they tell you what to do. And as an immigrant child, my parents even more told me what to do. And then you go to school and your teachers tell you what to do. Religion tells you what to do. Government has legislation that tells you what to do. And what Alec felt was, ultimately, people were really upset, but they didn't know why they were upset. He figured out that really everyone was looking for love, safety, and belonging. And everything we were following was taking us away from that. So what he wanted us to do was, instead of outsourcing our thoughts and following what everyone else does, he was asking us to hijack our mind back. So start thinking for ourselves. So the whole purpose of the book and every chapter is taking something that you'll be very familiar with, whether it's marriage, whether it's education, whether it's religion, and he's going to make you think about it differently and ask yourself, do you really believe what you believe because you believe it or because other people have told you to believe it?
Wonderful. I'm coming back to the marriage part because we know he wasn't expert on that subject. But I'm going to start with Ryle now. You know, when you're born into a family with parents who are, you know, big, very strong personalities, very successful, well-known in their careers, generally second generations find it hard to step out of that shadow, be themselves. But, you know, all you four kids have done exceptionally well for yourselves and created your own unique brands all over the world. Ranjit was obviously in New York. You know, how much of credit do you give to the values that you grew up with? Also, some of it is mentioned in the book, like your driving lessons, but you don't drive anymore.
Right. I think both my parents had a huge influence on all of us, on all four of us, believe it or not. I think my father, in that respect, was very clear. He wanted us to explore the world. He wanted us to explore our passions up to a certain point, of course. When I said I wanted to do, I wanted to go down the theater route, he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You will go out, you will do your commerce degree, you will be an MBA, and then we'll see what you'll do after that. So having said
and
that...
And don't get married.
Yeah. No, you can't get married until you're 30. Until you're 30. Because you have to be able to stand on your own two feet and be economically independent. I mean, he was absolutely... I could say he was a maverick, of course, of sorts. But he was the ultimate liberal in the 1970s. I think he was so influenced by everything that was happening in the West that he kind of really turned a lot of stuff on its head and insisted that women's empowerment, you know, is foremost. And I think he started with his children. I think that was very important. So to give context to your question, yes, I think he encouraged us all to go out there and, you know, follow our path, do whatever we had to do. And I think in some way or the other, we've managed to do that and make somewhat of a success of whatever we're trying to do.
And then you went down the theater part. Vandana, I mean, you know, Alec would not worry about opening the Pandora's box. And since my wife is also not in the audience, I'm going to ask you this about the renewable 5-year marriage license. It's a full chapter. It's quite interesting, as talked about. So did Alec look at marriage like a contract, like any other formal contract one signs when they get a job? And how does the renewal of the contract or the license bring back the spark?
Well, so Alec obviously was married 3 times, and he said that at no time in his married life did he ever sit and think about, am I being a good husband? We have a lot of men in the audience. Hopefully you're thinking. So he said, look, when you're at school, to get to the next grade, you have to take an exam. When you're at work, to get promoted, you have to go through some kind of appraisal system. And yet the one contract that you sign, you know, of your own volition with somebody else is till death do us part. And he said that he felt when he talked to women and to men, they were all like, oh, it's a bit, you know, till death do us part. If you think about it, if you go back hundreds and thousands of years to when marriage came about, we probably only lived to be 30. So you were only ever married for 10 or 15 years. But now, till death do us part means like 6 decades, 7 decades. And he said, really, to make people happier, what we should do, and so Asad, I think it's really important to understand, he's not advocating divorce at all. What he's basically saying is every 5 years, you should question, have I been a good partner to my spouse? And, you know, am I doing things that make them happy? Are they doing things that make me happy? So it was, the idea was, let's use this as an assessment system, but to make it firm, have a five-year marriage license. So five-year marriage, in your fourth year, you would question, should you still be married to this person? Is this person good for you? Are you good for them? And hopefully, if you're not, you'll start doing things to remedy it. And then you renew for another 5 years.
Wonderful. Anybody want to do that? No, I'm just kidding. So I'm just going to go to another chapter from the book.
Yes.
All right. Is this being recorded and live streamed? Just remember, we have people. So I'm going to the chapter on school versus edutainment. I mean, chapter 7, I believe. Alec used to say, my purpose is to educate in an entertaining way. He was a firm believer in the curiosity trumping over talent, which is basically, I think, you know, something that lots of people are now, focusing on, especially in the newer ways of education for kids younger. How did Alec make his daughter Shazan fall in love with Hindi and Quasar get over his fear of math? It was quite an interesting story.
So I mean, this is Alec's geniusness, I'd say, or ingenuity. So he could see that Shazan, his youngest, really didn't like speaking Hindi. She really had this view that Hindi was like the servant's language. And all her friends used to speak English. And Alec knew how important it was that you could speak your mother tongue. So what he did was, he knew that getting a Hindi tutor was not going to cut it with Shazan. So what he did was he got a very good-looking actor to come home and teach them Hindi jokes, a skit in Hindi, and a Hindi song. Now, and what Alec did was he focus groups was a big thing for Alec at work. He did a focus group. He went to the school. He got the other mothers and he said, are you having a problem with Hindi? And the mothers were going, yes, the kids don't like studying Hindi. It's terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, right, we're going to get all the kids together and this actor's going to come and teach. So the actor did come. He did one session with them and taught them a joke in Hindi. The next day, the girls went to school and they told the joke in Hindi to all their Hindi-speaking friends. And their Hindi-speaking friends loved the joke. And so the girls came home and said, when's the actor coming again? And so slowly, they started to learn the love of Hindi. So he would always look at doing something again out of the box. With Quasar, it was very cool. Quasar didn't like maths. And it was clear to Dolly and to Alec that he was going to fail maths. And so Alec said to Dolly, you've tried your way, can I try my way? And Dolly was like, you always think you know better. Go on, let's see if you can do it. So he took Quasar for an ice cream. And he said, Beta, you must be looking forward to making more new friends. And Quasar said, why would I make more friends? And Alec said to him, well, it looks like you're not going to pass maths. And if you don't pass maths, then all of your grade are going to go up a year. And you're going to have a whole new bunch of people coming into your class. And they're going to be your new friends. And that's all he had to say. And from the next day, Quasar was studying maths every day and actually found that he fell in love with the subject.
Wonderful. Did you by any chance know what that joke in Hindi was? Because my daughter doesn't like Hindi or Marathi. I'm having that problem.
We need to get a good-looking actor to come round to your house.
I can do that, right? But yes. Moving to Rael. Rael, writing the book with Vandana for 2 years and obviously being so close. I mean, I know it's a difficult question, but which would be your favorite part of the book, favorite chapter, something that's closest to you?
Well, honestly, I would say it would be the one about bonus babies. I think from a very, very young age, my father insisted with all of us, all the children, that, it was very important to give back. I mean, that was the key to life, so to speak. So there's this lovely chapter on bonus babies, which really, highlights how lucky we are and that we all are really bonus babies. And this affected me so much, I mean, even when I was growing up, was that 20 years ago, I started a foundation, a CREATE foundation in my mother's name, to be able to obviously give back. And it let, you know, in her words, from strength to strength, it's really gone on. So it's, I think it's very important what he wanted everybody to be involved with. And he did that in through his public service advertising as well. You know, he felt that Lintas can't only do advertising to make money and to have ads that sell products. They have to be able to give back. So there was a whole cell that was formed on public service advertising. So this chapter, absolutely, I think it really makes an impact.
And you carry on that legacy through Create. Wonderful.
Yes.
Vandana, in the interest of time, this shows me I have 6 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Whoa.
That's not fair. I'm just going to combine a few questions. I mean, Alec's vision and forward thinking, you know, the chapter, make way for a C-questiono instead of a CEO. And where he wanted employees of Lintas to be the happiest when working, which is most unlikely when someone goes to work on a Monday. Yeah. And then he's created all these terms that differentiate between a CEO and a CSO and other interesting abbreviations that he coined and he appropriated for himself. Could you throw some light on those?
Yeah, so obviously Alec straddled both the theatre world and the advertising world. And his title was CEO, which is Chief Executive Officer. And he hated the word executive because he said to execute is to kill, right? So why the hell are you calling the top person in the company a CEO? So he changed it, and the whole chapter's about all the other versions that you could have. So the CVO is the Chief Values Officer. The CSO, the Chief Strategy Officer. He came up with lots and lots of ways that you needed to think about being that senior person. And it was really interesting. Ashwini Deshpande, who runs Elephant Design, which is India's premier design company, she studied under Alec. She was an intern. And she said, you know, all these companies today do team building days. She said, we didn't need to do team building days with Alec because every day was team building. Every day was bringing people together and getting the best out of them. And that's really the way to run a company.
And, you know, there's a part about the unspoken dialogues where it's important to have conversations which one generally doesn't. Could you tell us a little bit more at what he did at Lintas?
Yeah, so the unspoken dialogues is all about getting people to say the things that they don't speak about. Why? And we've seen this at Jaipur. There was a great session this morning on sex and how we don't talk about it. The point is, when we start talking about things that are really impacting us inside, you unconsciously give other people permission to say, oh my goodness, I feel like that. I've been through that. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to get people, and he ran a whole series called The Unspoken Dialogues, where he would get people after theater productions to sit down and actually talk about their unspoken dialogues with strangers. And most people said, oh my God, Alec, that's not gonna work. But it did. It worked. People stayed behind. They said things that were on their chest. And afterwards, they came up to him and said, you know, I've never said that to anyone, and I feel so much relief now that I've said it.
And Ryle, how did Alec combine his two passions, theater and advertising? How did they come together? Did they complement each other? Was it, did he have two separate halves that came together? What was it?
So, you know, he did an earlier book called A Double Life, which was on both these topics. I think he was absolutely madly in love with theater. We grew up in a theater family. His brother started the English theater movement in this country. And our cousin is right here, who was also very much a part of the theater movement. So that was his main passion. I think advertising, he realized theater is not going to be able to put food on the table and support, you know, the children and the wife and things like that. So, but it was such an exciting space to be in, and I think he revolutionized it in such a way that he was able to incorporate drama, theater, all those aspects of the theater into advertising and vice versa. And I think that's why the marriage of both worked so well for him, because I think one without the other, he would not survive.
Wonderful. So Alec has dedicated this book to his favorite people, the youth of India. And how do Alec, the new Ten Commandments, prepare the young generation for the upcoming trials and tribulations of life? Now, we were going to play a video first, but I think it's more fun if you all both read it.
Okay.
So you have 11 marks?
Okay, yes. 207. Do you want to start?
Okay. So he had his own version of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to go with the first one. Thou shalt treat all human beings as equal. Okay, thou shalt speak out when thou seest injustice.
Okay, thou shalt help thy neighbor in need.
Thou shalt shun dishonesty.
Thou shalt respect thy neighbor's religion.
Thou shalt build bridges, not barriers.
Thou shalt not practice double standards.
Thou shalt always respect women.
My favorite. Thou shalt not blame the many for the sins of a few.
And the last one, thou shalt always listen to the voice of thy conscience.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Worth thinking about, seriously.
You know, I don't know how many of you all here have read the book, but it's a very interesting book, and it's also very different because suddenly you have all these Alecisms in italics there. You have points to ponder. You have summaries. You have recaps. Yeah. You have anecdotes of this. So am I looking at a reference book or am I reading a life book? So it really confuses you a little, but it's quite interesting. So what was your favorite Alecism?
So, because you spoke about the dedication, I think that's the one that really got me the most. So, these are the little things that he kept saying, and we tried to work it out that these are his Alecisms. So, one of them was, it's time to decondition your brains, youngestan, by swerving into the future, putting on a deconditioner, and rethinking everything about our lives.
Yep, and the one that I've got actually should have gone before that, but it's, do you realize that most of us reading this book are just sleepwalking through life?
Wonderful.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This podcast is produced by Launchora in association with Teamwork Arts. Please follow or subscribe to this show wherever you're listening to this to be notified about new episodes.